The journey to a smoke-free future can be a long and winding road, but if you're ready for a change, consider taking Zyn for a spin. Zyn nicotine pouches offer a fresh way to discover your nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. No smoke, no spit, and no lingering odor. Get in gear with the Zyn 10 Challenge and enjoy 10 smoke-free, spit-free days for just $5.95. Order online and start your new journey today. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
I owe you the biggest apology. I was so unbelievably condescending to you that day. I'm sure of it. I don't remember exactly. You told me, I just shot a pilot. I'm like, oh, good for you. We just met. Oh, good for you. Congratulations, man. What's the pilot? It's the American version of The Office. And I literally went, oh, you poor thing. The look on my face was like, you dumb sap. Hi, I'm Kevin Rom, and I am proud to say that I am the second lead of the acclaimed short film, Moosecock.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to, yes, Off the Beat. I am, as always, your host, Brian Baumgartner, and today's episode, well, I am very excited to welcome the amazing Kevin Rom into the studio. Kevin has been on some of the biggest shows of all time, from Desperate Housewives to Mad Men to most recently Madam Secretary. And man, does Kevin have range. On Desperate Housewives, he played Lee McDermott for over 60 episodes, and he got in touch with his sillier side, his words. On Mad Men, of course, he played Ted Chaw, a.k.a. rival to the one and only Don Draper. Truly, guys, Kevin is one of the best in the business. And so today I'm excited to deep dive into his career, from his LGBTQ representation on Desperate Housewives to what it means to be part of Mad Men's lasting legacy. And of course, as you heard in his open, we will also talk about his biggest accomplishment to date, working with me, Brian Baumgartner, for our acclaimed short film, Moosecock. Yes, you did hear that right. Moosecock. I know. With all the moosecock swirling in your brains, the suspense must be killing you. So here he is now, Kevin Rom.
Bubble and squeak. I love it. Bubble and squeak, I know. Bubble and squeak, I cook it every morning. from the night before.
What's up?
Brian, how you doing, buddy?
Kevin, I'm so happy to see you. What is going on, my friend?
It's a lot. And well, nothing and a lot. And it's been forever.
It has been forever. It's great to see you. I am delighted every time I see you on TV. That's all I'll say. There's something about seeing somebody who you worked with so early on. You're like, yes.
Every time. Yes, every time. Just excited. It. Excited. Yeah. Looking forward to, all the good things. It's funny. There came around the time that we met, it stopped being a competition between other actors for me personally. Like I got to the point in my career where if they were going to cast me, it's like putting nutmeg in. And if they're going to cast you, it's like putting a little more spicy something. And so it didn't feel like a competition. It felt like they're going to choose the best spice for the soup. And these are my comrades in arms. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's really an interesting point, right? Like the proverbial they are not choosing someone better. They're just choosing someone different.
Ideally. I mean, look, I've shat the bed in many an audition. So there are times when they chose someone better because I was terrible. But when it comes down to it, if you're right for the role and you're around what they're looking for, and you know, there's another guy who's different than you, and you know, like I tested for According to Jim to be the brother-in-law.
Okay.
Have you seen According to Jim?
I've seen According to Jim, yes.
We are different. We are completely different human beings. And like I walked into the screen test and I was like, okay, so it's either him or me. There's no in between.
Right.
Like they're going to go one way or the other. And I'm going to give my best version of it in this testing situation that's so awkward anyway. Yes. And then they're going to choose. But I didn't take it, you know, it still sucks. Like you can acknowledge that it was a different, they were making a different soup than what I was bringing to the table.
Yes, so at around the time we met, you started being able to be happy for other people or other people you had met.
Yeah. Before that, it was a competition. I've, you know, there was a pie and there was only so many slices, you know, that metaphor. And around the time that we met, I started to get in a place where I was like, you know, there's place for everybody to do well.
Right. All right. We're going to talk about our meeting here very shortly, okay. But I want to go back to your childhood for just a little bit. You grew up in Texas, as I understand.
Louisiana and Texas. Born in Texas, raised in Louisiana, finished high school in Texas.
Okay. But you also were in Atlanta, because, you know, I was in Atlanta.
Atlanta, Texas. Yes.
Atlanta High School in Texas.
And a Queen City in Texas. It's a very, I think they were the Running Rabbits. And I think there were, I want to say, 8,000 people in the town. Maybe 10. Okay. Tiny little town.
That makes sense that I haven't heard of it. And also, I was going to ask you, Atlanta High School, I wasn't familiar with.
Yeah,
I grew up and was born and bred there. The Running Rabbits, that suits you, actually. You're kind of like a rabbit, I feel like.
Quick.
Just quick. Yeah. Shifty, maybe.
That's closer.
Did you do sports in high school or early on?
Early on, and then like eighth grade, I was playing football. I dislocated, and I was never going to be a football player. Let's be real clear. I was 5 foot one my freshman year, 5'2" my sophomore year. I didn't grow till much later in high school. So I quickly went into debate and speech and debate, which led me to theater in a weird way. And then I did cheerleading for 1 year at an all boys Catholic school in Louisiana.
Oh, all boys. I was about to ask if you were small, if you were strong enough to lift people up, but apparently you were lifted.
That's very funny you to think that, and I can see that, and I think in retrospect I probably should have been the one being lifted. We had an all girls sister school, and our girl cheerleaders came from them,
and got so. It.
But Leah Hudson, who's still friends of mine, was my cheerleading partner, and we were definitely the weakest links. Like we were the bottom of, they needed 8 couples and they're like, they had 7 and they're like, okay, well let Leah, Kevin, come on. I guess we need 8. Let's go. We were not very good. We had a lot of fun though.
Well, I'm sure. But now wait a second. Isn't the point of an all boys school
yeah,
to keep the boys and girls separate, yet lifting and cohorting physically, I don't understand.
Look, I made a very smart decision. I could either have gone to two-a-days in the summer and be around a bunch of sweaty, sweaty men smelling.
Right.
With no chance of ever playing a game because I was going to be third string. Or I could go to cheerleading camp where there were 10 guys and 400 girls.
Right. I mean, to be clear, though, to be the weakest link on the cheerleading squad. So, but at least you're playing. At least you're playing. At least you're in the game.
I'm on the team, man. I got a letter. I am suited up.
You have a letter?
I got a letter. Yeah. Oh yeah, I got a letter jacket. It's not a jacket. No. It's a sweater. It's a sweater. It's a letter sweater. They didn't give us. They literally, the football team was like, no, they can't have jackets. They can have sweaters. All the jocks are like, no, that's not cool. I get a letter sweater.
Okay, so you're cheerleading, but you really start focusing on debate, and that brings you to theater. So you started doing plays.
So debate was my thing, man. I loved debate. I thought I wanted to go to law school. My grandmother said I could argue with a signpost. And so when I quit the school in Shreveport, Louisiana, the all boys Catholic school, I went to a public school in East Texas, and they didn't have a theater. They didn't have a debate program per se. They had a huge drama program. So. I got kind of thrown into a drama class, and like I did two Shakespeare plays my freshman and sophomore year, not by choice. Because my big brother, quote unquote, for the senior, you have a senior as a freshman. He's like, you're auditioning for the play. And I was like, no, I'm not. He goes, yeah, you are. And I was like, oh, okay. He was much bigger than I was. And he bought my beer on the weekend. So I said, okay. So we did Julius Caesar my freshman year. And it was fun. You know, I got the attention from the girls from the all girls school that way as well. And And then when I got to Atlanta, Texas, yeah, they had a huge drama program. And I kind of just jumped in.
That's where you got the bug, or you decided this is what you wanted to do.
Well, I definitely got the bug. This is pre-internet. This is no one had from any of those towns had gone on to make something of themselves in our industry. And so it was never a thought to do it professionally. It wasn't until I got to college and I thought, oh, I really enjoyed that in high school. Maybe I should try it in college. And I saw a play. I saw a two-hander. I can't think of the name right now. A guy-girl show. And it was really good. And the girl I fell in love with, and she was amazing. And Tally's Folly, that's the play I saw, and I was like, wow, I should try that in college. And that's when I jumped into the theater program, and that's when I was like, okay, I'm gonna do this. I didn't know what I was gonna do, but I was gonna do this. And I was in a play every semester and never looked back from there, doing a ton of theater.
Right. So yeah, similar to me, I found it like as an activity to do. Yeah, that was what I was gonna do in high school, and right before college, actually, I decided, oh, I think I could actually do this. And so I went to school for it. It seems like you were a little bit later, but this is at BYU. Is that right?
Went to
BYU?
Wait, where did you go to college to study theater?
SMU.
Oh, wow. They had a good program, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Thank you for
knowing. I mean, obviously, SMU is one of the programs that I thought about going to grad school to get into.
Okay.
I thought about, because my intent when I was in college, my intent was to go to grad school, get the MFA, and then go to New York. And that was my intent. And of course, in like all of the plans that changed, but that was the thought.
You're at BYU and you think you're going to go to grad school.
Well, at the first 2 years of BYU, the thought is I'm going to go to law school. This is just for doing the theater for fun. Going to go to law school, cause that's how, that's how I move up in the world.
Right.
And then like, I just got the bug and then I started working and I started loving it. And I was like, unbeknownst to me, I created a grad program for myself just by being lazy and not going to the other classes. And so 4 years in, I'm like, okay, I need another year of education before I can graduate. And it's all general education. Like I needed sophomore English and I needed two religion classes and I needed math. And my two best friends were leaving college. And I was like, I can't be here anymore. I'm taking someone's spot. I was pretending to be Mormon at the time. You know, I was like, I got to get out of here. This is not for me. And one of my best friends went to ACT to grad school. My other best friend went to New York to be an actress. And I was like, I'm already getting paid. I've already done, I'm SAG eligible. I've done two movies of the week. I've done Promised Land and Touched by an Angel as guest stars. I'm moving to LA. Let's go. Let's pack my 88 Honda Accord with one working headlight. And let's go to Los Angeles.
And so you decide to go to Los Angeles, but wait, I can't just, you were pretending to be Mormon? What explain
well,
that
I
phrase.
I grew up Mormon. Okay.
You grew up Mormon.
Well, I grew up Mormon. I was baptized Mormon. And then I did a mission for 2 years. From 19 to 21, I went and knocked on doors in Switzerland and France and islands east of South Africa and tried to convert
That's
people.
When I heard this. Yes.
Yeah. And then I would go to BYU, mainly because I knew if I went anywhere else that my friends from high school were at, I would leave Mormonism very quicker, probably. Like all my friends were at LSU and UT and A&M. And I was like, I can't go there because I'll get in trouble fast. And so I went to BYU trying to be the good boy. And then within 2 years, I was like, this is not for me. I got to get out of this. And but you have to be doing the things to stay there. Like you have to go to church. You have to have a bishop sign a thing saying you're doing all the things. And so you have to lie ultimately. So I'd go to Salt Lake with my friends on Saturday night and then I'd teach Sunday school on Sunday morning. So that's what pretending to be Mormon means.
Right. Okay. So because you did the missionary trip, you're older.
Yeah.
Right. So I started
at 21.
Right. So that makes sense. Like that, you know, you're thinking about grad school, but at that point, you know, you start to get experience, you start to get maturity. As you said, you start to get jobs. Now, when you worked on Touched by an Angel, was that filmed in Utah?
Yeah.
Is that how?
Yeah. So Promised Land and Touched by an Angel were both shot in Salt Lake City, in and around Salt Lake. And they always had like one movie the week came through every year. A big movie would come through every year. They had a decent market in Salt Lake. And they, you know, there was a modeling agency in Salt Lake City. It's a funny story, actually. Aaron Eckhart was a year ahead of me at BYU.
Okay.
And he was a film student, not really in the acting tract, you know, and he was getting work he was with this modeling agency. And I was like, if that guy can get work, I can get work. And I went and got his agent. Cause he was like the helicopter pilot. And like, you know, he was like, he would get these day jobs. They're paying like $500 a day.
Right.
And I'm like, I can do that. That's better than delivering flowers on the weekend. You know what I mean? Like I'll go do that. And so I literally went to Salt Lake and got his agent. And that's how I started. I started booking, you know, I was local commercials and radio spots and all that kind of stuff. I was a hand model for one day once, just the left hand though. It's better than the right hand.
Your left hand is more attractive than your right hand.
That's what I was told. That's what I was told by professionals.
I'm just going to leave that for now. Now I don't need to go deep into this, but I will tell you a story about Salt Lake. Cause you say you went out in Salt Lake.
Oh,
now things are different. Things are different now. I understand. And I have been back.
Yes.
And by the way, Salt Lake City, beautiful city, very nice, beautiful gorgeous state, great. Utah. I love it. Now there was another show that filmed there that I happened to do a couple of episodes on, I think. Everwood.
Oh,
was
filmed
there in Utah. And I remember arriving. This is such a tangent. I remember arriving on the day of the national championship basketball tournament. Right. So the Final Four, right, but the championship day, it's always a Monday. I check into the hotel and I'm like, where is a bar? I want to watch the game. I'm a sports fan. They were like, oh, okay, well, it's down. And I remember walking down this highway, it starts snowing, and I get to a sports bar, just think Chili's, I don't know. And they ask me for my membership number. And I'm like, this is a sports, and you had to be registered in order to enter an establishment.
You had to join the private club, yes, to join the private club.
Of Applebee's or whatever, like you literally had to join Applebee's.
It's behind the ropes of Applebee's.
You're right.
It's like the VIP of Applebee's. You go behind, and I was like
$20. Well, can I? Yeah. No. It was like $2. I was like, how much is it to join? $2. But I guess I'm registered in the state of Utah for having
that one Applebee's. If you go down to Weber, it does not transfer to the Weber store.
It's not transferable.
No, non-transferable.
Makes sense.
So my version of that is I'm at BYU. I decide I want a beer. I'm like, I'm done with Mormonism. All I want is a beer. I haven't had a beer in probably 5 or 6, 7 years. Since probably high school.
Or a hot beverage. Yes, go ahead.
Or a hot toddy. You know, hot beverage. Yes.
Yes.
Those are just as bad, obviously.
Yeah.
You know your Mormonism. You know your word of wisdom.
I do.
So, There was two bars in Provo. One of them was called the ABC Bar, little dive bar in downtown Provo. And the other one was at the Marriott, which you could possibly run into someone. And so I figured anyone who I run into at the ABC bar is not going to narc on me because I'm not going to narc on them. The joke is, if you want to drink a beer, invite one Mormon over, because if you invite two Mormons over, they won't drink, but one will drink your beer. So you go in, I go up to the door, and I'm a poor college student. I have like $20 in my pocket. And I get to the door, and the door guy goes, "Are you a member?" And I think of the church. And I'm like, because I have the Mormon boy haircut. I'm in khakis. Like, I look like a Mormon missionary still. And he goes, "Are you a member?" And I went, "No." And he goes, of the bar. You have to be a member of the bar. And I'm from Louisiana, where at 14, you could walk up to anywhere and they'd give you a beer for free.
Right.
You know, it's like, whatever, kid. Here, have a hurricane, 12-year-old. Right. And so I'm like, I have to be a member. I was so confused. I was like, "You have to be a member of what?" He goes, "The bar. You have to join the bar." And I said, "How much?" And he told me $20. And I had $20 in my pocket. And that's if I pay them to join, I can't afford to buy a drink. And so I go, "Dude, I only have $20. And he goes, "Well, someone can sponsor you." And he turns and he goes, "Anyone here want to sponsor this kid?" And there's like maybe 10 people. There's a dartboard in the back and the jukebox. And it's like the record skips. Everyone turns and looks at me. And they all look me up and down, pause, and then look away. Not one person sponsored me. And I was like, "Oh my God, this is awful. I just went, okay." And I just, I sunk my head and I went home. I did not get a beer that night. I did not get a beer.
Wow. Well, you had people, even though you thought there was nobody watching you, there were people watching you.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Someone was watching. The Lord was watching.
Yes. The Lord was watching.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
The journey to a smoke-free future can be a long and winding road. But if you're ready for a change, consider taking Zyn for a spin. Zyn nicotine pouches offer a fresh way to discover your nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. No smoke, no spit, and no lingering odor. Ready to start your new journey? Get in gear with the Zyn 10 Challenge. Enjoy Zyn nicotine pouches for 10 days and discover a fresher way to experience nicotine satisfaction anywhere, anytime. Here's how to get started with the Zyn 10 Challenge. Simply pick your strength and varieties online and check out. Once your Zyn nicotine pouches arrive in the mail, enjoy pure nicotine satisfaction at your leisure. After your 10-day trial, let us know what you think. If Zyn isn't for you, no hard feelings. It's that simple. Order online at Zyn.com, that's ZYN.com, to start your new journey today with the Zyn 10 Challenge. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
you moved to Los Angeles, and then what? You work to get an agent and you start auditioning? Is this how it goes?
So I was ahead of the game, as you know. Well, an agent wouldn't see you at the time unless you were eligible or already SAG. And, you know, it's kind of like you have to get a job to become SAG, but no one would give you a job unless you were SAG. It's one of those. And so the way to get your SAG card is either to become an extra for multiple days, where you have to become friends with the ADs and they give you a voucher, and that takes a while. And the other way is to get cast in something where they called it Taft-Hartley. You know this, but the audience may not know. You get what's called Taft-Hartley, and they have to pay a fine to hire you and say, there's no one else who can do this job in town that's union, so we're going to make this kid eligible. And so I did that in Utah. So I was ahead of the game.
Yes.
By being SAG eligible. I had a tape at the time, literally on tape.
Nice.
So I had 5 minutes of me on camera that I could show people. And I had won this acting award in college. And so I thought that was going to be a big entryway. And then David Giella, who was the casting director for Touched by an Angel in Promised Land at the time, I reached out to him. He actually reached out to me and said, when are you moving to LA? And I said, actually, I'm coming in a couple of months. And he goes, okay, well, let me know when you get in town. And I spent $200 at Kinko's, money I didn't have, making color copies of the newspaper stuff from when I won this playwriting, this national acting award. And the play I was in won the National Playwriting Award, and we get to perform it in Kennedy Center in DC. And it's like the Heisman of acting, right? No one knows about it. So it's
the Irene
Ryan. Ryan
Award. Yes. This is a big deal.
The Granny Clampett Award is my friends call it the Granny Clampett Award. So I put together this packet and like my resume, and but like it's mainly 10 color pages of this stuff about the Irene Ryan and the National Playwriting Award and all that stuff. And I submitted. David Giella gave me like 20 agencies to submit to, and I 20 copies of this that I submitted. Attention, so and so at this agency, referred by David Giella. I say there's 20 of them that I submitted to. Like three of them, some assistant called me and goes, hey, dude, come pick this up. They're going to throw it away. And it's just this, you put together a lot of work into this. It's really nice. I don't want to throw it away. You should probably come pick it up. I'm like, okay, thanks. No word from anyone else. And then two of them call me. I get two meetings out of it. And like one of them is the artist agency where I ended up signing with at the time. And I said, so what about the, like, I just for my reference, like what did you like about the packet? And they're like, what packet? I'm like the 20 pages of color copies of information about my accolades from college theater that clearly are the reason I'm in this room. They're like, oh, no, we just saw David's name on the cover and then someone called you. It has nothing to do. You could have written, said, hey, David said, call you, and we would have called you. I was like, oh, cool. Thanks, man. It's like all that energy and like, oh.
That is so good. By the way, I did the same thing. I'm sure no one called me. No one called me to pick up my packets. I ran into one of them fairly recently.
You had the packet still?
I had it somewhere. Yes, I ran into it like in my archives. I don't know. Do I have an archives? In my closet.
I hope somewhere there's a copy of that. I know I have some old headshots and stuff like that, but I hope somewhere is. I mean, somewhere is the newspaper clippings, but I don't know if I have the colored copied. I couldn't spend the extra money to get the spiraling put on it. Like that was too much.
Right.
I think I stapled it.
What were some of the challenges for you starting out once you moved to Los Angeles? Was it easier, harder than you expected it to be?
It was hard. I mean, like it seemed like this impenetrable fortress. Like it felt like you were walking up to like one of those old Babylonian cities and there's one gate. And you can hear what's happening inside, but you can't figure out your way over this wall or through this gate. And it just felt like it was really slow. Like everything was just crazy slow. It's like, you know, I put all this together and mailed them, and you mailed them at the time. Like instead of they're not going to let you drop them off. So you had to wait a week before you could possibly hear something, you know? So it's like a week of doing what? What do I do for a week? You get a job to make money. I'd play basketball and pickup games and outdoor parks. And, you know, it's like, what do you do with your time? I hadn't found an acting class yet. So I started waiting tables and just feel like a long time until I got situated. I had some horrible apartment experiences. And I mean, I rented a room from this cat lady that I found, you know, in the, I can't remember where I found the ad, but like it was like, you know, less than $200 a month. I was renting this one room in this house of this woman who managed the house and the apartments behind it. And I literally, there was just dog and cat hair everywhere. And like, I would just go in there and sleep at night and then I'd leave all day because I didn't know what to do. I was like, what do you do?
So eventually you get a role in Jesse.
Yes.
And then what? Your first?
Well, before the first one was Everything's Relative.
Okay.
So that was four episodes. It was me and Jeffrey Tambor, Jill Clayburgh, and Eric Schaefer. It was wannabe Arrested Development.
Okay.
It was Mitch Hurwitz. It was Jim Vallely, Geniuses. And I was the Bateman character and the put out in the center of the family, keeping everyone together. And they hadn't figured it out yet, right? They hadn't worked it out yet. But I read for that once a month for 6 months. Allison Jones would bring me in and I would read. And they'd be like, that's exactly what we're looking for. Who's next? Like, because they were looking for, they wanted Jason Bateman. They wanted someone with a name to come in and be the lead of their show. And finally, they cast Jeffrey Tambor, and then they could cast a nobody as the guy, as the kid. And we did four episodes. We were after Just Shoot Me, I think, on NBC in the spring, and they canned it immediately. And then I jumped on Jesse. Then people in the business knew who I was. I did another pilot right after that with Patrick Warburton. Patrick and I did a pilot together called Jeff of the Universe, where I was Jeff. And my claim to fame at the time was I read again, like one of the people reading for that role was John Cryer. Okay. And I was like, I walked into the audition room and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm reading against John Cryer. There's no way I get this job. Of course, Ducky gets this job. How do I get a job? It's John Cryer. John Cryer's going to get this job. And I think because he was one of the people testing, I completely relaxed. And I think that's why I got the job, because I was like, oh, I'm not going to get this job. So I'm just going to try to be the best I can in this room. So for the next job, right? Maybe these people will like me and I'll get another part on the show later on. So I think that's part of the reason I booked that pilot. And then I jumped on Jesse that summer. It was like, that was back to back to back, those three jobs.
So your career is taking off at this point.
Yes. Yeah.
You're starting to feel good and confident.
Oh, maybe a little too confident.
Maybe too confident?
maybe a little too confident. Maybe. I'm not gonna, yeah. Yeah.
And then Judging Amy.
That's
That's your first long time show, right?
More than Jesse, I did 1 year. Everything's Relative was four episodes. This was three seasons. Like I did three full years of 22 episodes a year. I bought my house. Like that was the one that like, okay. I'm now a working actor full time.
Right.
And then we met right after I left Judging Amy.
Yeah. No. So that's where I'm going to go. I mean, first off, 3 years and that stability that brings, what did that give you as an actor?
Well,
besides your house,
besides a home and literally my first home, like my first, not just a house, but my first home where I created a safe place for myself. That was the positive side of it. It gave me oodles of confidence when working with Tyne Daly and Amy Brenneman on the regular and feeling like I was holding my own with them made me feel like I deserved to be in the room. I deserved to be in the talk. Like I felt like I really naively of myself, I felt like, okay, I've been number three on a TV hit acclaimed TV show, not a part of the zeitgeist or a juggernaut ratings wise, but like well respected. It's respected for its acting, at least, you know.
Yep.
So the next step is I'll get my own show. That's the next step.
Yeah.
And so maybe a little too confident walking into that when I walked out of Judging Amy. So I leave Judging Amy, and it's like they're going to do one more year. They're letting I can't believe I forgot his name. He left the show. He was going to come back for the last year and I had replaced him ostensibly. So I leave the show and I'm like riding high, man. This is back when they had pilot season. You know, I leave in the spring, I have the summer off, I do a, you know, motorcycle trip to Europe, blah, blah, blah. And then that like November, I get an audition for this cable show for a network I'd never heard of. And it's a really good script. I was like, holy cow, this is amazing. And I go in and I meet the creator and I read for it. And they're like, yeah, we want you to test for this. And I get the test deal. And it is half of my quote for half of the amount of episodes.
Right.
So, and this is November. So pilot season's January, February, where I'm going to get my own show.
Right.
Because that's what happens next. And this is like an ensemble show. And I'm definitely not the lead, not even like maybe like the fifth lead, but it's a really, really good script. And I really like this guy who wrote it. And I say, look, guys, I can't test for this. This is not, you know, I'm going to take a fourth of my pay and I'm about to get my own show, guys. So right. Thank you. But good luck with your little show on a network called FX, whatever that is. That show was The Shield. And that person was Sean Ryan, who, I don't know that I would have gotten the part, but I was in the mix for the part. Right.
Right.
And then what happened that pilot season is if you can guess already is I did not get my own show.
Right.
Not only did I not get my own show, I did not get any shows. I tested, I don't know how many times I tested, but it was in the high teens. I tested for things and didn't book anything. And I learned, my lesson I learned was that 0 times 5 years is still zero. And I was a little humbled after that year.
And this brings us to Moose Cock.
Oh, man.
So,
oh,
man. I mean, listen.
Oh.
Kevin and I met on a little project, and it's called Moose Cock. It exists out there. It's out there. And so coming off of this show, I'm more surprised that you said yes than I did. I had at the time shot a pilot for a show called The Office that everyone, including you, everybody that I worked with was doomed for absolute failure.
I owe you the biggest apology. I was so unbelievably condescending to you that day. I'm sure of it. I don't remember exactly. You told me, I just shot a pilot. I'm like, oh, good for you. We just met. Oh, good for congratulations, man. What's the pilot? It's the American version of The Office. And I literally went, oh, you poor thing. The look on my face was like, you dumb sap. I hope you saved every fucking penny they gave you. This shit is going nowhere. Have you seen the original Office? There's no way. There's no one you can cast to compete. There is no Steve Carell out there to create this. Oh my God. I was so, everyone, Will, our director writer was condescending. We were all like, you poor dumb sap.
Yeah.
Hopefully this makes it to festivals for you.
we both said yes. Now I have to tell you, I don't know. I need to know from you if this is true for you. I mean, I do a lot of appearances at colleges now. I'm invited. I'm not just hanging out on campus.
important note. That's important note. Good information.
But undoubtedly, some smartass in the audience will raise their hand and start talking effusively about admiring my work in Moose Cock. And it is a title that brings confusion, unsettledness. Is that a word? Yes. I don't think so. Are you asked about Moose Cock?
Not as often. Not as often as you are. I'm not doing my college experience. My college tours aren't sanctioned. And so I'm just hanging out looking for a cheap salad. Right. And so I feel like college kids are the ones who are going to do a deep dive on IMDb to say the funny thing in front of their buddies. So they're going to find it. Yeah. So I don't get it as much. I get it like every once in a while.
Right.
But yeah, you know, not as often.
Well, it's there. It's funny. A part of the record.
It's really funny.
It is. It's funny. It's funny.
The stuff we got to do together, I loved. I mean, you got to go, you went on and did all of this other stuff that I wasn't a part of. But like, that was a fun day for me. Like, I really enjoyed shooting that with you.
Yes.
And he let us play. It was like a whole thing. Like, I really enjoyed that experience.
Yes.
That was one of the first times I walked onto a set and felt confident to play. You know what I mean? Like, cause it was Will, we knew it was our buddy and he cast us because he knew we could do it. And so I didn't feel any weird pressure about being something or doing something extra.
Yeah. No, I remember it being incredibly fun. And never could I have dreamed. It could have won the Oscar, and it would not have gotten as much attention, but for the name, for me, all of these years later.
I love that you still get it.
Oh, yeah. Yes. No comment.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
If you're a smoker or dipper looking to make a change, you really only need one reason to do it. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you can find many. Not only did Zyn create the first ever nicotine pouch, we're still America's number one choice for smoke-free, spit-free nicotine satisfaction. It could be because Zyn is made with only 6 simple ingredients, including naturally derived nicotine salt. Or maybe it's because Zyn is the only nicotine pouch with a 10-day trial. For anyone worried Zyn won't cut it like traditional tobacco, just ask one of the millions of people who have achieved lasting change. You have lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Find your Zyn online or in a store near you at Zyn.com/find. That's Zyn.com/find. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
So things don't go quite as you expect them to go. However, shortly thereafter, you start a run of shows, historic shows, one might say. I'm very, very jealous of this. And I mean this sincerely, with Desperate Housewives starting on a show that's already established, that you don't have to sort of fight to invent. The world is there and created by the time you get on. Talk to me a little bit. Were you a fan? Had you watched Desperate Housewives before auditioning, or how did that come about?
I was like everyone else in the country for the first 2 seasons. I was a fan. I watched religiously, loved the ladies, loved what they were doing. I loved the tone that Mark took with the show. I thought it was so unique and interesting, and there's a reason it was part of the zeitgeist. And then I got the audition for it. And it's funny because like I was dating my now wife long distance, and she had come to visit me in LA. And of course, the minute she booked a flight to come visit me, I booked a job, and I was doing an episode of Scrubs as a guest. And my character had been bitten by a tick and had Lyme's disease. And so they finally had to shave my head to find the tick. And so I'm in a bald cap, and my audition, let's say it's at 4 o'clock. My audition's at 4 o'clock for Housewives, and I'm supposed to read for Bob. And they don't let me out there. I take my bald cap off until like 3:30. And they're like, if you're not here by four, you can't get in. I race down this down the street from each other, and she's in the car with me, and I pull up to the lot. And that entrance there on the left at Universal, I have like 10 minutes to get in. And I'm like, I'm racing, and I give my ID, and he's like, okay, what about her? And I'm like, what about her? He's like, she's not on the list. I'm like, well, she's with me. She's just going to sit in the car. That's okay. And they're like, no, she can't come on the lot. I'm like, no, well, I don't understand what you want her to sit on the curb? Like, what do you want from me right now? And I'm getting so mad at this poor person doing their job, and I'm becoming irate. I'm like, what do you, and they're like, yeah, she's got, I'm like, no. I'm not. And my now wife, Amy, she goes, Kevin, go to your audition. I'm going to get out of the car, and I'm going to stand here on the curb. And I'm like, no, I'm not letting you stand on the curb while I go read for this. And I'm not even sure I want to do this. I'm not even sure I want to be on the show. And so I get there at like 3:59, and I go in and I read Bob, and Bart Cherry goes, did you look at Lee? And I go, yeah, he's funnier. And he goes, okay. He goes, will you look at it? I go, yeah, give me 2 minutes. It's fine. Give me 2 minutes. And I go outside and I look at it for 2 minutes, and I come back in, and I just become a bitchy queen. I'm like, so I thank the gate guard, because I was so heated when I walked in, that's how I got the job. And now my wife takes full credit for me getting that job.
Right. Right.
But yeah, I was walking into an established world. It was just fun. Like, it was just play. And they would just write the biggest, funnest stuff for me. And I would just see if I could do it. And I would say, let's go. There was one of my favorite moments of the whole show is there. And when I read it, I laughed out loud. And it's a sight gag where they're like, and behind her, you see Lee skating down the street, like roller skating. And they never explain it. They never see it again. I never talk about skating, but I'm wearing like shorts and knee pads, and like a bright yellow sweater vest, and I skateboard. I roller skate behind, you know, like it was just silly and fun. And, it started a run of like, if you want your show to end in 3 years, I'm your guy. Bring me in. You got about 3 more good years and then we're done, people.
Yeah. But that's not a bad number of years.
No, it's a good number.
Mark Cherry, the creator who you mentioned, mm-hmm. has said that he wanted to treat Lee and Bob like the heterosexual couples on the show. This is an approach that is ahead of its time at this point, right, for network television, to treat them just like any other couples. Obviously, gay marriage is not legalized at this point. Did he talk to you about this, or was this a part of the conversation?
He introduced me as the fifth housewife in the room, anytime we did press, anytime. He's like, Lee is the fifth housewife. That's how everybody thought of them, you know. And some people were okay with it, and some weren't. And some people were different versions of okay with it. One of my audition scenes was the scene with Terry Hatcher where she shows up to introduce herself and give us cookies, and she realizes in the scene that we're not couples. We're not a partners as in business partners. We're life partners. And like the moment that realization happens was one of my audition scenes. And I added this bit in the audition where we say something, she says something, we say something, and then she realizes. And it's between her lines that she realizes. And so in between the pause, I just turn to Bob and I go, wait for it. and then she realizes, which killed in the audition, right? It killed in the audition. It wasn't on the page, and it killed in the audition. And then I made the mistake of doing it in rehearsal without telling her on my first day. And she goes, what are you doing? What are you doing? That's not on the page. And I was like, oh, it's something I did in the audition and they thought it was funny. She goes, yeah, I don't, we're not going to do it like that, are we? And like turned to the director and he goes, no, we're not going to do that. Because what you realize is they would cut away from her. The camera wouldn't stay on her. They would cut away to me and go back to her. And she's like, no, we're going to stay on me, new boy. We don't know you yet. We'll see. You might earn that take later, but we'll see. For now, the camera's going to stay on the lead of the show. I was like, okay, cool. Good to know. Good to know.
Oh, that is so amazing.
Yeah, it's so good. I love Terry.
What do you think that show's legacy is today?
It's hard.
It was so big at the time.
It was so big. It was so big. I have really good friends from that still. I don't know. I don't know where it'll stack up. Look, it's not MASH for me.
Right.
You know, it's not Sopranos for me. But as far as comedies, man, it's up there. I it'll be interesting in 15 years from now to see if it holds up. You know what I mean? And whether or not it feels kind of universal, though. I haven't seen it. I don't even know if it's airing anywhere right now. I'd be interested. You know, now it seems like the time of reunions, and I'd be interested to see if that is even possible. You know, what the story would be if it's possible to do that, or if it's just dead in the water. I don't know. But I'd be interested to see what those people were doing.
Yeah. You mentioned The Sopranos, widely considered, by myself included, the greatest drama television show of all time.
You put it above The Wire?
I do. For me, it's number one. Okay. But there's a top five that is really close, and you are in one of those. Mad Men. Ted Chaw, you joined that show late as well. Just an unbelievable performance. I have to tell you, there was just this disarming confidence and presentness. There was just something that was so pleasurable, even when we weren't rooting for you, especially early on, that I found so remarkable. So you should feel just so good about that performance.
That is very, very kind of you. That was a special, special, special place. You know John Hamm, and you talked to him recently. He's the guy you want as your number one. He's the guy you want leading the ship, as from the actor's point of view. Matt Weiner, crazy smart and so focused, and has such a strong point of view, and he's the guy you want leading the ship that way, you know, demanding of everyone to bring their A game. I mean, everyone from top to bottom. I mean, I have so many stories about that show. There's a scene where my secretary hands me a plane ticket. I'm going to California, and it's in front of my office, and then I think Lizzie comes up, Peggy comes up to complain about something, and Moira's handing me the ticket. I literally take the ticket and I put it in my pocket. You see it, the outside of the ticket, for a second. And that was it. You never see me open it later. That ticket, when you open it up, is a carbon copy plane ticket like they had during the time. And I guarantee you, if you look up the dates of the flights of that day, the flight number's correct. The time is correct. It's a carbon copy. And that's one of the things I kept. It ended up in my pocket. I took it back to my trailer, and I was like, I'll give it to him tomorrow. And I forgot about it. And at the end, I just put it in a book and took it home. So it's in a book somewhere in my bookcase. But like, if they handed you a file on Hershey, it was a file on Hershey. It was 20 pages of information about Hershey, and not the same page over and over again. Right. It was someone somewhere had spent the weekend creating a file on Hershey candy bar. And so in the scene, when you look down at any page, you could become lost in that. The world was so, like, there was some moment where Elizabeth had a poster of a jazz festival behind her. And like, Matt came into a rehearsal and was like, nope, that doesn't happen for 3 months. Take it down. Get the other one. Or that's not till next year. Or, you know, something like, you know, just the detail. That painting hasn't been painted yet. That hasn't happened yet. Like that. Housewives was similar in the sense that Mark Cherry and Matt Weiner gave you the box, man. Here's the box. This is the box we're playing in. And then you could go crazy in that box.
Right.
And so I remember getting to Lethal Weapon, and I was like, okay, tell me what the box is. Give me the box. And they're like, oh, that's cool. Just do whatever. You're doing great. I'm like, no, but I need, give me the box, man. Give me this box. I need this box so I can. And they're like, no, you're doing great. It's fine. I'm like, but can we? And I love Matt Miller's great, but Matt Miller doesn't have the box like those. He's not as uptight about his world as they are in that way.
Right.
But I like the box, man. I like having the box and the confidence thing. I got lucky. That was one of those auditions where in the room. I mean, it was at the height, man. Everyone in LA loved it. Everyone in LA knew the show. I don't know if it had won awards already. It was part of the zeitgeist already when I read for it. And I don't remember who they were, but I remember in the room knowing everyone in the room. Like, you recognized every actor in that room. They had all done stuff. They had all worked. They were all good. And it was one of those moments where it's like, okay, here's my take. Here's my take on it. This is what I think the guy does and is. And this, and the other thing, I don't know if you know this, but they never told you who you were actually reading for and with.
Oh no.
So like all the names had been changed. So when you get the audition scene, it's a scene from the show, but they don't want anyone to know what's happening in the show. So they've changed the names.
Okay.
And so I was like, oh, this guy's talking to Don Draper. This has to be with Don.
Right.
You know, the Benihana scene, was my audition scene. Okay. And I was like, oh, he's talking to Don Draper and he's fucking with him. He thinks he's as good as Don Draper. And so that's the guy. He's got to be as confident, but he's got to do it differently. So it's got to be with a smile. Right. And that's, I guessed correctly in the sense of like what they were looking for the role, and then brought my spice to it.
Yeah.
It was fun, man. It was, oh my God, what a dream. What a dream. Everyone, man. Jay Ferguson, we had worked together on Judging Amy. And then Slattery, we had worked together for a minute on Housewives. So when I walked into my first table read, there's two guys I know and love. And Slats is like, hey, Grom, come over here, man. You know Jay already. Cool. You know John. Hey, this is Lizzie. This is, sit down. Welcome to the, welcome to our, And then Matt Weiner would come in and be like, okay, welcome everyone. You're now part of the Mad Men family. Do not tell anybody what your character's name is. Do not tell me what year it is. If you do, we will recast you and we'll reshoot without you. Welcome to the show. it's like, if you want to read lines, do not read them with anyone else. We have someone to do that for you. Right. And, if you tell anybody, if you tweet about it, I think Twitter was just happening. Like if you talk about it, if you tweet about it, if you put it on social media, we will recast you and we'll do it without you. Right. Welcome.
Welcome. I often wondered about this because of the merger and everything else that happened through the show. Were you secure that you were staying around? Did you know the story enough? Did you know that they were going to bring you on, continue with you? Or was there a point where you were sort of living in that limbo of maybe getting downsized?
The Chevy thing.
Yeah.
By that point, I felt pretty confident. I felt like, okay. I felt like I had a place in the world. But I never got overconfident,
right,
in the sense that I never didn't show up prepared. Like that was, I didn't get to like, oh, they need me now. You know what I mean? Like I always felt like I was replaceable.
Right.
But I didn't really get, I wasn't really afraid. When I got cast, I was cast as a guest, a day player.
Yeah. I think that's where I'm going. Cause it felt like you just kind of kept surviving. It felt like a 4 to 6 episode arc rival for Don. And then you'd go away. That's sort of what I thought when I was watching you and watching you on the show. I was like, God, that's so great. I think that's more my feeling, is like that was so great. That was so awesome. What a great character. And then just kind of kept feeling like you were not going to be there for that long. Like, you know what I mean? And not in like a bad way, but just like, oh, that's kind of what I expected the story to be. And then I was just so happy for you and obviously loved the character and was glad you were around.
Well, Brian, this is what I do. I show up on a show as a guest star and then I just sink my hooks into them and I just charm the pants off of them. And I won't let them let me leave.
Yeah.
I won't let them, Paula Malcolmson on Deadwood. She said to me that, at the end of season 1, Milch was going to kill her character. She was supposed to die at the end of season 1.
Okay.
And she went up to Milch and she's like, you're not killing me. In her beautiful Irish accent, she's, you ain't killing me. You can't kill me. You have to keep me. And he did. He was like, you got scared for me. And he kept her. She lasted the whole series. I there was a sense of that at first. It was cast. It was like 2, maybe 3 episodes. And it was day stuff, man. I got, my first episode was 1 day. The next episode I did like maybe a day and a half, 2 days. And then I think the first three or four episodes were day rates. It was like you come in for the day. Here's what we're going to pay you. There was no negotiation. It was Mad Men. It's like, yeah, I'll do whatever you want, man.
Right.
And then there was a scene where I was still day playing, or at least guest starring. And there's the scene where I have Peggy. Peggy has come to work for me.
Yeah.
And we have that scene where it's New Year's Eve and we're looking at the commercial, and I walk into her office, and they were like, look at each other a little longer. And I'm like, that's weird. Like we're looking, you know, the camera's over here, and like, you know, we're looking down together, and we look up and look at each other and look back down. And they go, just linger on the look a little longer. And Lizzie and I are both like, why? What's wrong with you? And they're like, just look at each other longer. Like, you dumbasses, you're going to have a relationship later. We're setting up the relationship. And I'm like, oh. And that was like to the end of a season. Right. I didn't have any commitment to be on. I was like, yes.
I'll look at her as long as you want.
And then they're like, okay, too much, Rom. Too much. Back it up. Way too much. Way too much. No, that's now you've ruined it. Now you've ruined it.
Oh, God. So good.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
The journey to a smoke-free future can be a long and winding road. But if you're ready for a change, consider taking Zyn for a spin. Zyn nicotine pouches offer a fresh way to discover your nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. No smoke, no spit, and no lingering odor. Ready to start your new journey? Get in gear with the Zyn 10 Challenge. Enjoy Zyn nicotine pouches for 10 days and discover a fresher way to experience nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. Here's how to get started with the Zyn 10 Challenge. Simply pick your strength and varieties online and check out. Once your Zyn nicotine pouches arrive in the mail, enjoy pure nicotine satisfaction at your leisure. After your 10-day trial, let us know what you think. If Zyn isn't for you, no hard feelings. It's that simple. Order online at Zyn.com, that's Zyn.com, to start your new journey today with the Zyn 10 Challenge. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
So many shows you've been on that I watch, actually, too. Bates Motel was a fun one for me.
So good.
Vera Farmiga, she's so amazing.
There's a handful of actors I've worked with, and she's one of them. Elizabeth Moss is another one. Hams, also another one. Tyne Daly, another one. Where in a scene, my coverage So the camera's on me and I'm watching them act and they're so good. It takes me out of the scene where I'm like, holy shit, that's good. I should, wow, that's really good. Like this is what's playing in my head.
Right.
And then I'm like, oh shit, I'm supposed to talk now. Dawn, like seriously, Vera Farmiga, it happened. There was a scene with her and Nestor and I in my office of Bates Motel, the two of them. She was sick, like had the flu-ish, you know, way before COVID, you could be sick on set. Like,
right.
She was sick, like almost falling asleep in between takes, you know, like they give her some tea and she'd cuddle up and like take a little nap. And, but being the trooper that she is, she stayed. Now it's my coverage, man. We've already shot her. She's done. So she could have gone home. We could easily have a stand-in read the lines for me. And a lot of people would just go home at that point. She stayed and it's my coverage. And then she starts acting and I'm like, holy shit. That is not only different than what you did, but unique and specific to, for me, that you're doing this. And I'm the only person that gets to watch this right now. And I was like, Elizabeth Moss, same thing. There's a scene when I tell her I've decided that I'm going to California. And she's, you know, she says, aren't you glad you get to make those decisions? And my coverage, man, she leaned into me and I was like, literally, I was like, holy fuck balls. That is amazing. That's so good. And I'm the only person that ever gets to see that. That was for me. And then it's just a given. It's what it's what a scene partner is supposed to be. And, but you don't always get that, you know? So when you do, it's special and exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. That's so I can't tell you how happy I am to hear that about her. I have not worked with her. You get mistaken for Spader?
Not as much anymore. Although there used to be Antonio's Pizza in the on Ventura Boulevard in Sherman Oaks. I don't know if it's still there. For a long time, it was my headshot that I signed James Spader. We put it up. because when I first got to LA, this woman on a red carpet, I don't know how I was on this red carpet. I had no business being there. It was for Volcano with Pierce Brosnan. And it was terrible. You know, you'll never see it. I don't know how I'm on the red carpet. This woman, James, I'm feeling like James fucking answer her already. And I turned around like, what? She's like, James, pointing at me. And I'm like, just come here. And I walk over and I go, who do you think I am? She goes, you're James Spader. And I go, I'm really not. She goes, oh, just sign it. And I went, all right. I signed James Spader and walked away. I was like, sure. Okay. I'm not going to argue with you anymore. I know who I am. What was his show with William Shatner?
Oh, of course. Boston Legal.
Boston Legal. No, Boston Legal. Yeah, Boston Legal. I had an audition. This is before I was a golfer. I had an audition to go play Julie Bowen's ex-husband, like a two-episode thing. To be her ex-husband who is a professional golfer. And it was a nothing part. It was like, I knew it wasn't going to go anywhere. It was a guest spot. And I was like, James, we still looked enough alike that I was like, I this is my moment. This is my Danny DeVito walking in. Who the fuck wrote this moment? You know that story. But this is my moment. So I'm going to walk. This is David E. Kelly's studios down in Manhattan Beach, right? Drive all the way down there. Park my car. I go in for the audition. Haven't even looked at the sides. I'm not there to audition. And I walk, I wait my turn and I walk into the casting and producer's room and the producer's there. I'm like, hey, they're like, are you ready? I'm like, nope. This part's not for me, but I'm here to tell you that I should be Spader's brother. I've signed his autograph. We look alike. I could be some kind of drug addict or whatever. I come to steal from him, but you should write a part for me where I am Spader's brother. And I'm expecting them to go, oh my God, yes, look at you. You just like him. Of course, you're young Spader. Silence. Just dead silence. And then there's like, I feel the anger. They're like, are you fucking kidding me? And they look at me and they're like, so are you going to read? And I'm like, no, I'm good. And they go, thank you. And I was like, okay, thanks a lot, guys. See you. And I walk out. And I was like, I never got an audition for those again. I never had an audition down there for like the next 5 years. They're like, I got little asterisks next to my name and I was not called back.
You should have called me. I would have put you in the office as Robert California's brother.
Oh my God. How did I not? Oh, I should have been Robert California's brother.
I think you would have at least gotten a laugh out of our crew. I don't know if it would have happened.
Was Allison Jones still casting at that point?
Yes, with Allison Jones. Yes.
Oh, she would have got. I would have got a laugh out of Allison because at least she knows me.
Yes. Oh, that's 100%.
That is funny.
So much great work. Love Victor. Madam Secretary, you worked with on Madam Secretary. I have to bring this up because we started with this guys that I worked with. I've totally lost touch. This is one of those things where he definitively will not remember me. But every time I see him, I get that same warm and fuzzy feeling. In circa 19. There we go. We're starting with a 19.
Oh, it's early.
1997 or 98.
Some of you haven't been born yet.
I had a friend who got a play at the New York Stage and Film Festival. And they have sort of a company of actors. And I think that they're like a pick to come and do this play reading was Jelko Ivanek. And I remember watching him for those, I don't know, 2 weeks of working on this. And I was like, oh, this guy is incredible. So he's another one that whenever I see him on anything, including Damages, which I watched, which he won an Emmy for.
He was great. He was great on Damages.
So good on Damages. You enjoyed working with him?
Oh,
Jelko?
Oh, Jelko. Oh, my God. He's another one. He's another one of those people that you're like, are you kidding me? He's small. He's not a big man.
No.
He's thin. He's short. But he has a presence that is haunting when he wants, when he needs to be, and terrifying when it needs to be. He has this, he had this moment with this girl in the, one scene in the Oval Office, and he puts his hand up to her face in the scene, like he's going to rip her face off. And he got, I was watching, it was a masterclass on how to be big when you're not big. Like he had his arms up and he does this thing with this girl and she was towering over him. And this girl, the actress melted. She was like terrified of this man. And on top of that, the best part is he is the kindest.
So sweet.
Most unassuming, humble, sweet. How's your family? How are you doing? You know, just like he and Taya, I would have done that show for as long as they would have had me. I would have gladly done 4 or 5 more years of that. Just they so lovely. Eric Stoltz was one of the directing producers, who's great as well. Just like another family atmosphere where everybody comes to work hard and it's, you know, have fun. And here we're going to do our best version of this and we're going to go home to our families, you know? But Jelko, man, he's a stud. What a great dude. Another one. Yeah. Another one. I could just watch him in scenes. I'm totally. Like, holy shit, that's so cool. Oh wait, my turn.
I mean, your career is just, it's amazing. I mean, it truly is a dream. The variety of roles that you've been able to play. Literally, I do not have time. I'm way too busy a person to talk about every show that you've ever been in.
You have to go work on your chipping.
I've got to go. Yeah, I got to go work on my golf. And not only an amazing career, but also, speaking of chipping, a great humanitarian. One of these years, I'm going to do it. You have my pledge here. It's recorded for posterity. The ROM Celebrity Golf Tournament. You give so much to St. Jude's. Talk to me about that, your passion for St. Jude's, how that came about, and your commitment through your golf tournament to them.
My first ever job, as I told you earlier, was that Everything's Relative show. That was a Whit Thomas production. Whit Thomas, as in Danny Thomas's son, Tony Thomas, is the Thomas and Whit Thomas. And we pretty much shut Whit Thomas down. They did Soap. They did Golden Girls. And I shut the doors on them as well. I've shut the doors on many a show. I shut the doors on that whole building went down, man. We shut it down. So I have that claim to fame. So I felt like I owe the Thomas family something by shutting those doors. So that was my first connection with St. Jude. And then, you know, I met Patrick, and Patrick started his tournament now 12 years ago. Patrick Warburton started his tournament 12 years ago, I believe now. And Clark Rainey, who runs Patrick's tournament, Clark called me about 5 years ago and said, hey, we want to do an East Coast version of this and we want you to be the namesake. And I said, well, okay. And my wife was on the phone. We were going somewhere and I put my wife was on speaker with me. And I said, so clearly you've gotten to the R's in your Rolodex, and no one else was stupid enough to say yes. Are you kidding me? Like, you want me to go to Florida where I don't have any family or know anyone, where I'm going to have people fly across country? I knew that we could do it, and I was excited to try. And I once you go to that hospital, you will do anything you can to support it. It's a special place for many, many reasons. The least of which is that they are trying to keep kids from dying of cancer. That is the least of which. It is amazing. They share all their research. Everything's free. It's also interesting that in the 1950s, Danny Thomas decided to do it in Memphis, Tennessee, and took everyone, regardless of color, creed, or religion, which was a big deal at the time.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of reasons that place is hopeful. I don't like hospitals. My mom was a nurse. There was a lot of death in my family. So I don't like being around hospitals in general. And this place feels different. It feels, people are walking around there with smiles on their faces, and there's hope. There's hope there. And so I would do anything I could to help. And so, I'm proud. My name's on it.
It's awesome. Thank you for your generosity and your work. I want you to know, you know, we don't see each other very often, but it is always so, so my pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me.
I feel the same way, Brian. I feel the same way, man. And like, I think the last time we ran into each other was at the BMW like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And every time I see you on those tournaments on TV playing, I get so excited. Other people, I'm like, how the fuck did that guy get an invite to the tournament? Every time I see you, I'm excited. You deserve it. You're a good guy. I'm proud of you. And one more apology. I was so wrong about The Office. It was really good. It was really, really good. You were amazing. Wow. Carell, he can be an American Office. Turns out, I didn't know. Yeah. I was wrong. I admit it freely. I apologize for the condescension. You and your two houses and your private golf club membership, I deserve it.
Let me just say this. I am very, very glad you were wrong as well. Thank you. Thanks, Brian. So much, Kevin.
My pleasure. My pleasure,
buddy. Cheers. Kevin, thank you so much. This was such a treat. Congratulations again for all you are doing for St. Jude's. And yes, I will join you on the course next year. I truly mean that. Thanks so much for your time and, well, your deep diviness. And listeners, make sure to catch us on Thursday this week for a sports edition of Off the Beat. I'll also be back at it next Tuesday. One might call it double the fun, double the magic, double the me, basically. Did I just coin a catchphrase? Maybe. I'm going to talk to you soon. Off the Beat is hosted and executive produced by me, Brian Baumgartner, alongside our executive producer, Ling Lee. Our producers are Diego Tapia, Liz Hayes, Hannah Harris, and Emily Carr. Our talent producer is Ryan Papa Zachary, and our intern is Sammy Katz. Our theme song, Bubble and Squeak, performed by my great friend, Creed Bratton, and the episode was mixed by Seth Olansky.
If you're a smoker or dipper looking to make a change, you really only need one reason to do it. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you can find many. Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. It's made with only 6 simple ingredients. Plus, Zyn is the only nicotine pouch with a 10-day hassle-free trial. There are lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Find your Zyn online or in a store near you at zyn.com/find. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine. or a ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl goes shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.